explaining the book of Galatians. The Bible says, in the beginning was the reason, the thought, the concept, the essence. In other words, the explanation of things. And it says to us, and that word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld of the only begotten of the Father, who was full of grace and truth. So that means the explanation of scriptures is in a person. Through that person, the scriptures make sense to us. That is spiritual and natural sense later on. So, the explanation of the scriptures is in a person. I remember I was talking to someone a couple of days back, and we began to talk about the correction of the Lord. This, by the way, really, in Hebrews chapter 12, that, you know, the Bible says that if we, maybe you should turn there, Hebrews 12, that could bless you too. Hebrews 12. Remember we're talking about the book of Galatians. Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, and faint not thou when rebuked of him. Verse 6, Hebrews 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. So, people believe that the chastening of the Lord refers to an experience where you are probably scolded, whipped with cane or something, or something happens to you. And some folks believe that when they're going through hardship in life, God is correcting them about something. And I said to that fellow who was trying to share that with me, I said, now, do you believe that Jesus is the Word? He said, yeah. So you believe that everything that God says in the scriptures is explained by him? He said, yeah. Alright. So maybe we have the reason to now go into the four gospels and then look at the life of Jesus. He said, he that has seen me, praise God, has seen the Father. No man cometh to God. That, when he said no man cometh to God, that was just not a road to God. That was referring to the revelation of God. So what we see Jesus do is the Word of God in action. And I said, Jesus rebuked people, he corrected people, but with words. With words. And in love. He didn't correct people with sickness, he didn't have it to give. He didn't correct people with poverty, he didn't have it to give. He didn't correct people with pain in their backside, he didn't have it to give. He didn't correct people with winds blowing over their heads and blowing their heads off, because he did not have it to give. Rather, he healed the sick. He took care of the poor. He stopped the storms. Even when Peter, who said in the room, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come. And then God, Jesus said, come. I think that's Matthew 14. And then he said, bid me to come. And then he came. And then while he was on the water, Peter began to doubt. And when he was doubting, Jesus did not first of all say, what nonsense? Why are you doubting? You this silly boy. You just don't know the word. And then he said, come on, I don't know what to do for you. Maybe when you swim, when it sinks in the water and you begin to drown some, then you will know that it's good to believe your Father. It's good to believe your Savior. No. Jesus first of all rescued Peter. When he rescued Peter, then he said, why did you doubt? So Jesus is the word. It is the explanation of all things. So, the Bible is explained in a person. John chapter 5. Turn there with me. John chapter 5. By the way, I'll be teaching something else in the second service. Praise the Lord. John chapter 5. Glory to God. Search the scriptures. For in them, notice this, in them you search the scriptures. Now, people search. He said, in them you think you have eternal life. He didn't say you have eternal life. Because eternal life is not in the scriptures. Eternal life is in a person. He said, you search the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. And they, what? The scriptures. Hallelujah. Are they which do what? They do what? They do what? Come and talk to me. They do what? Testify. Is that what it says? Testify of what? So the scriptures testify of Jesus. He says, but you are searching the scriptures. Look at the next verse. He said, you will not come to me that you may have life. Can you see that? So the scriptures cannot give life. Life is in a person. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You see that? The scriptures don't give life. Knowing the scriptures, quoting the scriptures, and doesn't give life. Life is in a person. He says, you will not come to me that you may have life. So the essence of scriptures is a revelation of Jesus. If you begin to study and then you cannot find Jesus in your study, Christ, better still, in your study, then you are in an academic pursuit. You are not better than a theologian who is not born again. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Now, this was when Jesus, you know, he had been raised from the dead. So he appeared to the disciples who felt, was he really alive or not? They said, was he alive? He said, I'm alive. So he ate bread and then took fish. Then he began to show them. Now look at this. In verse 43. He took it and he did eat before them. Luke 24. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Now let's look at it together. I want to go. Which were written in the law of Moses. Where else? In the prophets. Where else? In the Psalms. And where else? Concerning me. So it took them through, how many of you know that's the entire Bible before the New Testament was written? How many know that? That's the entire Bible. Let me see your hand if you know that. That's the entire Bible. So it took them through the entire Bible concerning himself. From Genesis down to Malachi. Now, let's take verse 45 together. Then open ye their understanding. So the understanding of the scriptures is gotten where you can, when the scriptures point to you, Jesus. That's where you get the understanding of Scripture. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul writing to his son Timothy here, and he says, that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Look at what he says. Thou hast known, the word known there is a word that means to acquaint yourself with something, to be a friend of something, to be aware of something, to acquaint yourself with the Scriptures. You have acquainted yourself with the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, never forget that when Paul wrote this to Timothy, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts of the Apostles, Romans were not referred to as scriptures because they hadn't been written at all. If they had written, they were not taken as scriptures at that point. So he was referring to the Old Testament. That see, in the Old Testament, the essence, the understanding of scriptures, acquainting yourself with scriptures of the Old Testament, is to know salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the essence. Now look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Just a background for you. 2 Peter chapter 1. Don't forget, we're explaining the book of Galatians. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, it is no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Some guys think that what he's saying is that people didn't just prophesy on their own. That I'm just getting out there. There is another private interpretation. Or better still, they feel that when you have a prophecy, don't interpret it privately, only in your personal way. No. That word, interpretation, is a word that means origin. That is, the scriptures did not emanate from revealing or the minds of individuals. The scriptures have one origin. That's what they say here. It's referring to the singularity of the origin of the scripture. That is, the scriptures were all written for a purpose. No scripture is of any private interpretation. Origin, that's the word. Source. Why? Because it says, holy men of God, verse 21, for prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were what? As they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, you will understand this when you back up a bit to 1 Peter chapter 1. What do you mean by holy men of God moved by? I mean, those prophecy of scriptures of any private interpretation or private origin. Why? Why? Verse chapter 1. Chapter 1 of the first epistle of Peter. I'll take verse 10, and then you take verse 11. Are you ready? Are you ready now? I'll take verse 10, you take verse 11. Set? Okay. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied, that's the same thing now, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. So the Spirit on them was the Spirit of who? Testifying of who? Christ. So no prophecy of scripture is of any private origin. When they were moved by the Holy Ghost, they were moved in the Spirit of Christ to speak of the sufferings of Christ and then the glory that will follow. So even the entire Bible is Christ-centered. The Bible is a Christocentric material. It's not a material to begin to teach business principles and begin to teach motivation and begin to teach ideas, technology. No! The Bible is centered on a person. So in our study of the book of Galatians, we already have an explanation. Hallelujah! We already have a foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11. It says, no other foundation can be laid except that which is already laid, Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of all teaching, of all preaching, of all preaching. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Revelation 19 tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. That is, the testimony, the witness of Jesus is what brings all the prophecies together. Show me, Christ is the explanation of all things. Say it again, Christ is the explanation of all things. Say it again, Christ is the explanation of all things. You know, when Philip goes to Samaria in Acts 8, the Bible says he preached Christ unto them. In verse 5. Later on, he met an Enoch who was reading the book of Isaiah. And the Bible says, when he met that Enoch, he said to him, do you understand what you read? The man said, well, I don't know, how can I access someone, guide me? And the Bible says, beginning from that very scripture, he preached Christ unto him. That's true Bible study. Praise the Lord. Because He is the Word. He is the light. He is the light. He is the essence of the Scriptures. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. Alright, get to Galatians now. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Okay, let me show you something else. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you. Notice that. I determined not to know anything among you, save Christ, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. So he said, I'm not just coming to talk. You know, some folks just come to talk on the pulpit and they say, what are you talking about? I just want to talk a message. I have a message for you. And they're giving a message. They're preaching a message. No! The message is a person. So when you're called to preach, determine not to know anything. Determine not to preach on anything. Don't preach circumstances. Don't talk about Nigeria. Hey, you're just giving us political gist on the pulpit and giving us how, you know, when you look at this, this is the reason why the MD CEO of Liver Brothers, what are you talking about? Focus on the person of Jesus. That's why in our church, we teach who you are in Christ. Who Christ is in you. What you can do in Christ. And what Christ is doing today in you. We don't go beyond that. Because that's the message of the scriptures. Say, I'm in Him. Hallelujah. So because you are in Him, when you begin to study the Bible, it becomes a mirror. Hallelujah. It's a mirror. Because you are in Him. It is the essence of scriptures. So when you are studying the Bible, you begin to see yourself in there. Hallelujah. Because you are in Him. When He went to the cross, you see yourself in Him. To the cross. When He was buried, you were buried. Romans 6 tells you that. When He was raised together, we're raised together. He's alive, we're alive. Hallelujah. He reigns and we reign. We are in Him. Glory to His name. Galatians chapter 1. Yep. And you see, I would say this to you, most of the ignorance we have today in the church world deals with how people understand or misunderstand the Pauline epistles. The Pauline epistles unlock the scriptures to us. The Pauline epistles, that's the epistles of Paul, unlock the mysteries of the scriptures to us. And when you don't understand the Pauline gospel, you never will understand the Bible. I'm able to say this. And that's why a lot of people are fighting Paul. In fact, some folks have said that he wasn't a Christian. They believe that Paul taught things that Jesus did not say. They quote Jesus. They say, Jesus said this. How come Paul is saying this? They say Jesus said this and Paul is saying that. I'm going to go into that detail much later as we go on. But often I tell them, Jesus said in John 16 verse 11 and 12 that He had many things to say, but He couldn't utter them. Why? Because those folks couldn't bear it. He said He spoke unto them in parables. And then He said, but when the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide into all of the truth. So the words of Jesus in the four Gospels can never give you complete revelation. He himself said it. What about when you read, I think I shared that with you, teaching so great salvation. When you read the four gospels, Jesus said that, take up your cross and follow me. If you take up your cross, you follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. By the time you get to the epistles, it's no longer referred to your cross, it's referred to His cross. Because now there's identification. He identifies with us on the cross. But see, many folks will see that because, as I said, they don't understand the different dispensations there. Are you there? I said, are you there? Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, glory, not of men, verse 1, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead. I'll take that again. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. The office of an apostle is not, you don't ordain apostles. You can ordain deacons. You can ordain bishops. You can ordain elders. You can ordain certain people. But you don't ordain apostles. You don't ordain prophets. You don't ordain Bible teachers. You don't ordain pastors. You don't ordain pastors. Until again, you don't ordain pastors. You don't ordain evangelists. Evangelists are given to us by Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, 7 and 8. He ascended and descended, and then he gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles. He gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, what we do is that we know the fivefold ministry. We don't choose them. You don't choose a pastor. You don't choose a teacher. You don't choose an apostle. An apostle is ordained, not of men. In Acts 13, remember, verse 1 to 3. Paul was gathered with certain people in the book of Acts. He was there. Barnabas was there, several of the brethren. And the Bible says, and the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherethrough I have called them. But in Acts 6, when they were going to choose deacons, they got them deacons and they said, look, these deacons choose from among you, Acts 6, deacons that we would appoint over this business. Acts 6, verse 2, down to verse 4. But you don't ordain pastors. Pastors are gifts of God. Timothy was a pastor. Paul says that the gift that was made obvious in you by the putting on of my hands. 1 Timothy 1:6. So 2 Timothy 1:6, 1 Timothy 4:14. So that is a gift. You don't ordain them. You can now pray for them, right? And then set them in the work. But it doesn't come by ordination. It doesn't come by Bible school. It doesn't come by being called an apostle. No. It's not of men. I'm going to start a series next month and call it the School of Ministry. We're going to look at the office of the pastor in detail. Hallelujah. You ready for much? Amen. Okay, so he's an apostle, not of men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Now follow this. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Now I want you to observe something. Oftentimes we have had people call Jesus, Paul, an apostle of Gentiles. And they believe that Jesus Christ called Peter for the Jews, and then he called Paul for the Gentiles. But you see, I've never seen that in that light before. I've attempted to try to think if it's true, but I've never been able to see it in the scriptures that Paul was sent to the Gentiles, Peter was sent to the Jews. So they were just sent to different people. Because by the time you begin to study the scriptures, and then people have never asked the question, who are the Jews and who are the Gentiles? And why are people called Gentiles? Why are people called Jews? You see, by the time you have that understanding in the scriptures, you will know that that basis of summarizing the apostleship of Paul might not be totally correct. I'll show you something. Look at Acts 9. Let's look at the calling of Paul. Acts 9. Remember, he was a persecutor of the church. And along the line, as he was going to Damascus, Acts 9, Jesus Christ appeared to him, and then he asked him to go to the city in verse 6, where someone would tell him what to do. Now, when Ananias met with Jesus, and Jesus was to tell him who Paul was sent to. Acts 9, 15. Are you there? Alright, we're going to take it together. Where to go? But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for is a chosen vessel unto me. Go on. To do what? To bear my name before Gentiles, and where else? And where else? Can you see that? So he was sent to Gentiles, to kings, and the children of Israel. Now, go to Acts 26, where Paul himself now relays his apostleship. You know, you see some folks who say, well, I'm sent to women and in all sorts of new ministries. Now, look at this. Paul begins to explain to the king, Agrippa, his ministry. In verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around me, about me, and then would join it with me. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? It is hard for thee to kick it in the priest. Preach. Then I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now, look at verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of both the things which thou hast seen and all things in which I will appear unto you. Now, look at verse 17. Want to go? Huh? Delivering thee from what? And from who? Unto whom now I send you. Now, when he said the people referred to Israel. And the Gentiles, unto whom now I send you. To open their eyes, he says, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is in me. So, Paul wasn't sent exclusively to non-Jews. All his materials, all his epistles, can be read by Jews and non-Jews. He wasn't sent to non-Jews alone. He was sent, you know, to all the nations, to the unbelieving world. Because the commandment for the church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, Mark 16:15, to every creature. Matthew 28, to make disciples of all nations, in verse 18 and 19, to teach all nations. And that involved every apostle of God. When you say, well, but sir, how come there was a place in Acts 2, I mean, Galatians 2, we're going to get there, where Paul said, Peter has his own apostleship to the Jews, I have my own to the Gentiles. We're going to get there in a moment. I mean, not here, not today. In Acts 13, Paul, first of all, went to the Jews. And if you observe, all of Paul's visits, the first place of call, port of call, will be to the Jews. He goes to the Jews. He goes to the synagogues. He goes to the temple to preach. Even in Gentile nations. He never excluded himself at any point in time from the Jews. Well, I'm sent to the Gentiles. Let me leave the Jews alone because I'm sent to the Gentiles. No, he didn't. In Acts 13, he went to the Jews. And he preached the word of God to them. And in verse 45, when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it's necessary that the word of God before be spoken unto you. And since you put it from you, and you judge yourself of what you have everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. But I say, he went to the Jews. He did go to the Jews. And in several occasions, you're going to see in the Acts of the Apostles, that he went to the Jews. The Jews, who are the Jews? Who are the Gentiles? Now, let's do a small study. Who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are the non-Jews. What makes a man a non-Gentile? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that you've been in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. So, a Gentile is only known where? Where? In the flesh. So, being a Jew and being a Gentile has nothing to do with your spiritual identity. So, the Jew is not a spiritual state, is it? Is it? Is a Gentile a spiritual state? No. In the flesh, made by hands. What is it made by hands? Was the flesh made by hands? It's referring to circumcision. Jews were circumcised. Made by hands. He said, look, being a Jew and being a Gentile has nothing to do with your spiritual life. Now, look at this. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope of without God in this world. So, basically, he was referring to those who did not have the Old Testament, who did not have the Old Covenant, because they were not physical children of Abraham. These are who we call Jews. And the Gentiles were those who did not have that relationship with Abraham. Not a spiritual relationship. A natural relationship. That's why if you were not a Jew, you were a Gentile. If you were not a Gentile, you were a Jew. Okay? Are you there? Are you there? Now, so that means they were both Jew and Gentiles had nothing to do with your spiritual life at all. It was just your natural lineage. The Jews had the law given by Moses to them because they were Jews. They were children of Abraham. Now, watch something. Look at Romans 2. So the Jews prided themselves with the whole covenant, with the law. They said, well, we have the law. We have the covenant. The covenant is given to us. We have the law. We have the covenant. But look at what the law said to the Jews. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Verse 1. Romans 3, 1. What advantage then had the Jew? That is, what's the big deal about being a Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true. But let every man a liar. It is written that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings, and may overcome them that have been judged. So, say, what is the advantage of the Jew? Verse 9. What then are we better? Did you see it? What does he say? Huh? Verse 9. Are we better? What does he say? No, in no wise. Praise God. Are you following it at all? He said, are we better? I said, no. No, in no wise. For we have before proved what? Both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So, why would a special message be preached to anybody? Come on. Let me show you how to be following what I'm saying. Why would a special message be preached to anybody? There's no reason for it. Because, see, everybody was on the scene. Hallelujah. Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of hearts is under their lips. Very tough. Let's just go to verse 18. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now let's take verse 19 together. Once ago, now we know that what say the law, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Can you see that? That's the essence of the law, that everyone may be guilty. Verse 20 together, everybody. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto who? And upon who? That believe. For there is no difference. There is no difference. Hallelujah. Look at verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is of one God, which it shall justify the circumcision by faith, and the uncircumcision also through faith. Hallelujah. So there's no point. There's no distinction spiritually between the Jew and the Gentile. Are you following these guys? Are you sure? So there's no special message for the Jew, and there's no special message for the Gentile. So saying that Peter was sent to the Jews and Paul was sent to the Gentiles can never have anything to do with the message. So whatever we read is relevant or is a message for everyone. We have said that earlier, that Christ is the explanation of the scriptures. Christ is the message of the scriptures. Are you with me, guys? So, you don't have to have issues, you know. And the Jews began to boast about who they were. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, God actually appeared to Peter, Sunday, Acts 10. In a vision. And he told him to eat certain things in the vision that were not commanded under the law to be eaten. And God said to him, in verse 15, Acts 10, what God has cleansed, thou shalt not call uncommon. Okay? So he went to the house of Cornelius and began to preach the gospel to Cornelius, who was not a Jew. And the Holy Ghost came on Cornelius, and Cornelius got saved, and he spoke with tongues, just like every Jew did. And the apostles somehow couldn't explain it. In verse 11, they summoned Peter to the elders' council. He said, why did you go to the Gentiles? What did you go there to do? Look at it, Acts 11. Acts 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that Gentiles had received the word of God. When Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of what? Who are those ones? Jews. What did they do? They contended with him. Why? What did they say? Verse 3. Saying, thou went into the men uncircumcised, and thou did eat with them. And they began to wonder, why did you go there? Because we're not supposed to go with them. We're not supposed to fellowship with them. And Peter now rehearsed the vision to them. And when it was through, you know what they said? In verse 17, he said, for as much as then as God gave them the light gift that he did to us, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I should withstand God? When they had these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Do you know the funny thing there? They just relied on Peter's vision and his integrity. They never had a doctrinal persuasion about that experience. You see, their actions afterwards now shows you they did not understand what happened. Their grief was God, because they couldn't just doubt Peter. Peter couldn't have told a lie. I mean, Peter is a man of God. He can't, you know, tell a lie, whatever he did. And then they saw, obviously, too, that there were witnesses there that saw that those folks actually spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. But watch this. Look at their action. Every time an experience cannot be explained in the light of Scripture, your conduct afterwards will show. You know, you tell some folks, you are saved. The Holy Ghost is in you. You say, yeah, I know. Why? I speak in tongues. Okay? You're a Christian, yes. How do you know? Say, well, the things I used to do, I do them no more. That's why I'm a Christian. Yeah. But then, much later, their actions would show they were never taught the Word of God. They'll begin to do certain things that you will know that, yes, that experience was valid, but their knowledge of it could not explain it. That is why, listen to me, you must submit yourself to the teaching of the Word. It's just like in life. When you are not educated, there's no amount of money you have. You will have a complex. You will have people do for you what you should have done for yourself. It's a fact. Ignorance is not something you should toy with. It deals again, what I'm saying here, it deals with many things. No amount of money you have. When I was in secondary school, there was a fellow who was my junior. He had a grandmother who was very wealthy. He was a millionaire in the 80s. And he would write requests for money and give a list of books, school timetable, and the boarding house timetable. He said, you see this one, siesta, we pay 5,000. This one, prep time, we pay 400 naira. And she was paying it. So she had money, but she did not have understanding. You see, spiritually, you need to be informed. Because, listen to this, the things that govern this world are spiritual. If you have ignorance of spiritual things, I can't tell you what to say, but, and that's why, if you observe that, I've been around the body of Christ for a few days, I've observed this. We are in a state in the church today that most Christians don't know what to believe. That's why just by any preaching, any message will sway anybody. You don't know. Because they have not been well taught. They don't even know how to handle life situations. Spiritual entities. Because they have not been taught. Once in a while, they will go for a Christian meeting and then somebody could pray for them. Then they'll get a breakthrough. Once in a while, they'll get a miracle. But they oftentimes, now, Kenneth Hagin said this years ago, and it blessed me a lot. He said that he observed that in his healing meetings, people got healed. He would just minister, and then the sick would get healed. But when he has 4 days of crusade, and this happens to a lot of evangelists, by the second or third day, some folks who are healed will be sick again. Sometimes in a few days, a few months. And it is sometimes the press will say, you see, these are fake ministers. But Jesus did tell a man, he said, a worse sickness. You know Jesus said that? Will come on you. Jesus said that. He said, if you go, you cannot repent. towards the word. A worse sickness will come on you. He gave the story of how a house was, a demon was cast out of a man, and those spirits began to look around. And they came back, seeing the place was empty, and they brought seven more wicked spirits. And the Bible says his state was worse than the first one. So Brother Higgins said, he now started holding healing school, where you are not just ministered to be healed, you are now taught how to stay healed. Because without knowledge, you cannot handle Satan. If Jesus, who is the Word of God, become flesh, three times resisted Satan by the Word, it is written. Satan quoted scriptures to him, and with his understanding, he resisted the devil. How much more you? In your finances, in your health, in your marriage, in your ministry, in your daily walk. Hallelujah. Are you there? How much more you? Now, look at what I said. Acts 11. That's where we will spend time. I see some people, they go to the tape stand. They'll get very nice topics. What's that one? What's the one we're doing last? Blessed beyond measure. You can't become a strong Christian hearing that. You can get inspired. You can learn things. You can want to be blessed and all that. But get a hold of things that will cause you to think and ask questions. Because when you ask questions, it means that your mind has been challenged. And when those questions are answered, you are established. Your mind has been challenged. Sir, are you saying this? Is this real? In the scriptures. My God. Then you are sure of what you believe. Boy, you're just in church saying, glory, yay, tell them, preach it. You're not learning nothing. When you are making discoveries, you are quiet. You are talking in tongues. Jesus Christ. Then you are learning something. When you are still talking back, you are discussing. Watch this. Immediately they were through. Okay, God has granted the Gentiles the presence of life. And they were referring to the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. So he said, it's sovereignty. That's the sovereign work of God. We can't explain it. It's just a sovereign work of God. Look at the next verse. Let's take it together. Once ago. Verse 19, Acts 11. You run out of there already? Are you there now? Once ago. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none. So, was there any understanding? Huh? They still went ahead to speak to who? The Jews. Why? Because the apostles even didn't explain anything. Not to them. Until, and I have time to look at it today, we'll look at it next week. Until Acts 15, when James could look into the body of the scriptures and said, look, he had searched more. He said, God had said that he will reveal the tabernacle of David and bring the ruins, and the Gentiles will find rest in there. Then they held their peace. Oh, it's true. Then Paul now explained in detail what God had done among the Gentiles. But yet, there was still like a yo-yo thinking on the Gentiles. Because there was no understanding of things. So the message to the Jew and the message to the Gentile is the message of Christ Jesus. There's no distinction. Look at Ephesians 2. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called on circumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Are you there? That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, You who sometimes were far off are made near. How? How? By the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who has made both one. He has made what? Who are the both? He has made both one. And has broken down the middle wall of partition, the division between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments entertained or contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of one new man, so making peace, that he may reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that were far off and to them that were near. For through him we both, praise God, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Can you see this? Can you see this? So there's no distinction anymore. So if there's no distinction in Christ, God cannot have a special message for the Jew and a special message for the Gentile, then give a special messenger to both of them. Come on, guys, are you following what I'm saying here? There's no distinction. He says, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, verse 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Can you shout hallelujah? So Christ is a message to everyone. Whether it's Jew or whether it's Gentile. Paul's apostleship is his message. It's not the people. Hallelujah. Galatians 1. Verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Look at that. Unto the churches of Galatia. You know today people talk about the proliferation of churches. I mean, there are too many churches. Suppose I'm just angry that there are too many churches. I don't know why you're angry. There have always been too many churches. There will be many churches. It's a dream of God that every house is a church. He said that the earth remains. I mean, sorry, as long as I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth will be filled with my glory, as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. There should be more churches. There are churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you, hallelujah, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Mind you, we're not doing a verse by verse study. I'm just taking you through the introduction. And verse 4, who gave himself for our sins? Who gave himself for our sins? That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Who gave himself for our sins? Hallelujah. Who gave himself for our sins? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now, a lot of people cannot separate the world from the earth. This earth is not evil. This chair is not evil. The jacket I'm wearing is not evil. This is not evil. The sound system is not evil. The AC is not evil, definitely. The food you eat is not evil. The Bible says the earth is the Lord. Amen. And the fullness thereof. Psalm 24 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10 and 26. So that's not evil. Understand the difference between the earth where we stay and the world refers to things that happen there. The earth refers to the physical things that we relate with. The world refers to our relationship with those things. In Genesis chapter 1, God made man, created man, verse 26 to 28. And he gave him dominion over the earth. That dominion is the world. The system of things. Things that happen refers to the world. And you and I know that sin in Romans 5, now, Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, the system of things. Death by sin. So death, verse 12, Romans 5, passed upon all, for that all have sinned. Now, when it said entered into the world, entered into what? Entered into man's dominion of the earth. sin entered into his jurisdiction over the earth. So the earth refers to what God created. The world refers to man's activities on the earth. That is why Satan is called the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:3, referring to the one who runs the activities that happen in the hearts of men now, who are not saved. That's why it's called the god of this world. 1 John 5:4, it says we have overcome the world, not the earth. In this world, John 16:33, you have persecutions and afflictions and trials. So John 16:33, it was not referring to the earth. My car will not persecute me. My phone will not persecute me. My shirt will not persecute me. But the activities of people who are not saved will persecute me. Said, but you have overcome. I have overcome, John 16:33. But in 1 John 5:4 says, you have overcome the world. Say, I have overcome the world. Because the god of this world has been defeated. That's why you have overcome the world. So we are delivered also from the system of this world. Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So, understand very well when we refer to the world and the earth. Get back to Galatians chapter 1. Watch this. It says in verse 6, I marvel, because this is the theme of this book. That is, this is the essence of this writing. In writing Christ, in communicating Christ unto them, this is the reason, this is the inspiration, that is the motivation why I wrote this. I marvel, I wonder, that you are so soon removed from him that has called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The word remove is a word in Greek that means to be carried away, where you are moving towards a direction. Why did he say that? Because after learning the word, people sometimes go astray. There's a book just like experimental things. Let me find out what this one means too. Let me find out what that means. And oftentimes, they go astray. So that you are soon removed to another gospel. That's what it says. To another gospel. The word another is a strong word that means heteros. That is a different sort. This message is different. The substance is different. The essence is different. Now, you should know this. We have preachers and we have anointed people all over the place who preach from the Bible, talk about Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But you must pay attention to know the essence of their message. That's how you know whether it is the gospel or another gospel. I don't have time to go into this today, but the essence of Paul's teaching in the book of Galatians is to establish the minds of Christians. Obviously, these folks were spiritual babes. That's why I said to them, my little children, of whom I travail at birth again, Galatians 4:19, that Christ be formed in you. Who are children. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ, that we henceforth be no more babes. Who are babes? They are tossed to and fro. Look at their library. You know they are babes. Babes are inquisitive. Babes try to experiment new things. And then oftentimes they fall to another gospel. It looks like it, but it's not the same. The message of the book of Galatians, that's what we're going to be doing in this study. To establish your heart
on the grace of Christ and not to be removed. And Paul warned the Galatian church to works, to deeds, to try to justify yourself before God. He says, when you do that, you fall from grace. You fall from grace. Hallelujah.